Okay, now we're ready for more of Hebrews 11. I don't think we got very far last time, did we?
No.
I think we got about to verse 5, and that's about it.
I think we should start over.
Start over? Well, we'll review somewhat. Father, we just magnify you, and we bless you, and we worship you. We're glad that we've come together to worship you and to sing your praise and to glorify you and to open your word and be blessed and be taught. Lord God, what it is to live in the kingdom of God. So we ask you right now to just open our minds and open our hearts are full. Our hearts have been restored and redeemed by your blood and by your mercy. But we need our minds and our souls must be renewed. Our will must be set. Our emotions must be happy. So Father, we thank you that as we enter into your word, that you are transforming us into the image of the Most High. And rather than us being conformed to the image of this world, which we happen to see every day, and it's just right here, it's easy to be conformed to this world. But Father, we thank you that we live by the Holy Ghost. We live by your Spirit. And that if we live by the Spirit, we wouldn't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, is what you told us in Galatians. So if we just open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, Lord God, to hear your word, we shall be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we began with substance is or faith is the substance. Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance, the assurance, the thing to hold on to, the thing that we have from God to get into the kingdom, to hold on to the kingdom, to have an anchor to the kingdom of God. Faith is our down payment, like the Holy Ghost. That faith is brought about by the Holy Ghost. Same way the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, the faith of God is brought into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, God has given to each man the measure of faith, hasn't he? Over in Romans chapter 12, he says, now to every man has been dealt the measure of faith. So every man, every person has the measure of faith. It's not something you can drum up on your own. It's not something you come up with on your own. It's not something because of the Word of God. Now, the Word of God cultivates faith once a seed is planted, a seed of the Word of God, but you've already got it in like the soil. It's got the nutrients in there because God put them in there, didn't he? That's the reason that something will grow in the soil. Is because God had something already designed in the soil to cause the seed to bring forth fruit.
What is not the nutrients?
Well, for us, it's faith. For us, faith causes the Word of God to grow and produce fruit. And that's what the nutrients in the soil is something that God put in there. Amen?
Faith causes the Word of God to grow.
That's right. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith, when you hear it, now it sounds there like you didn't have any faith before you heard the Word of God. That's over in Romans 10:17. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But faith keeps growing, not in the sense that you got to have more, but what it does, it keeps coming and overcoming. That's good. Keeps coming and overcoming. Faith becomes stronger and more what you believe, more what you trust in than the things you see. Faith becomes stronger and more solid, more anchored as you hear the Word of God. Faith grows around it. Faith causes you to stand strongly between faith and the Word of God. Causes you to stand strongly and established in the truth. The Word of God works with faith to produce more faith, to produce an establishing. All right? I don't know if that's all working together and making sense.
It grows from a seed.
The Word of God is the seed. Faith
it grows from a seed
to a tree.
Plant.
Plant, tree. Remember, he talked about the Word of God as a seed, and it's as a grain of mustard, if a man would have a faith of a grain of a mustard seed, which is like a piece of sand almost, just a grain of mustard seed, and it'd be planted in the ground, and it grows up and becomes one of the biggest, most, you know, trees. It just keeps growing and growing and growing, and the birds of the air, they nest in it. I mean, just, you know, all kinds of life happens in that tree. Yeah, that tree is a boon for life. It's a blessing for everyone that comes in contact with it, whether it's birds or people. See, and what happens is here is that God has put in you the measure of faith. Also, He has now dropped in the Word of God. The Word of God begins to take root and bring forth fruit. It begins to create. What typically happens with a seed is it produces something similar to what it has in the ground. Faith begins to produce more and more. That Word of God produces what? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's like there was faith in the ground, and then to help the Word of God, and then the Word of God with the faith creates more faith.
Do you think hearing can mean actual hearing, or is it spiritual only?
No, it's both. It's not only physical. It's not like physical hearing. But the fact is your mind has got to be changed. You've got to hear the Word of God. It's got to be changed. He who has ears to hear. So it's both kinds of hearing. Some people have ears, and some people hear but don't hear, don't they?
Your mind has got to be changed.
That's right. Scripture says, you know, hearing they don't hear, and seeing they don't see. So many people see and hear, but they don't see and hear. Right? So let's keep going. So faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. In other words, it's what we have now to guarantee us what's coming. People want to talk about faith as if it's like silly putty or clay or something that you mold into what you want. No, faith is a gift of God that allows you to tap into what God is doing on the inside of you. God is transforming you into a member of His kingdom. He's transforming you. You're not transforming stuff into what you want. He's transforming you into what He has desired, into a vessel that He can use. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is my hope? What things do I hope for? To be made and manifest in the image of God, that sin does no longer have dominion over me. Amen?
Into the object of His desire?
That's exactly right. You want to be transformed into the object of God's desire, not into the object of your own desire.
What is the object of His desire? Jesus?
The object of His desire, yeah, can be, you could say, yeah, He's going to be, now you're obviously not going to be Jesus, but to transform you into His image. That is the image of the love of God. One who will declare the Word of God and the love of God for the people and cause people to walk in light and life and sanctification, holiness. Not just to cause them to kind of figure out, oh, God wants to bless me with A, B, or C. That all just comes. That blessing just comes from being a part of the kingdom of God. And once you're in the kingdom of God, God is going to minister to you. He'll meet every need that you have. Doesn't mean that you can't have something you'll ask for and God would produce it. But that's not the crux of the whole matter. The crux of the matter, the focus of the matter of faith is for you to know God and to walk with Him. It's the substance of faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence we have of things that are not yet manifest. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. Amen? Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Did you look in the mirror lately? Did you look like it? Did you look like the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus when you looked? I know about you, but for me it looked pretty shabby.
Yeah.
It looked pretty shabby. So this is the substance. But for me, I have the substance of what he promised. He said, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am working in you, conforming you, transforming you into my image. I'm transforming you into my image. That's the thing that is hoped for. That's the thing that's not seen. The promise is what Abraham hoped for. The promise was not yet seen. We've seen the promise of Jesus Christ manifest, but we haven't yet seen that promise fulfilled in our flesh. We are seeing it fulfilled because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside. And as we repent of sin, we begin to reign over it. We begin to live more and more because we believe, not because we're doing better, but because we believe and we step out by faith to do, and it appears that we're doing better. But it's not us that's doing better. It's that we're dying to this flesh quicker. Right? Amen? Does that make sense? We're dying to the flesh quicker, not performing better. It's our flesh is dying sooner than later. Used to be it'd take a week for me to die to a sin. Maybe now it'd take me a little less time. That doesn't mean there's not another one not right on its heels that'll crop up. But that one is pretty much between the Holy Ghost and me walking in faith and obedience to His Word and His mercy, that sin, that particular sin, is kind of waned. The enemy can't get me on that one as much. But there may be another one. Guaranteed, there will be. There'll be another one.
The next day.
The next day, that's right. Might wait a day. You know, man, I've got it now. And then all of a sudden you're proud. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I don't let any enemy talk me out of what I've been given by God. I don't let him talk me out of the love of God. I don't let him talk me out of the ministry that he's given to me to do. I don't let him talk me out of the fact that sin does not have any dominion over me. That's the faith that I have, that I am hoping for, but this faith is the substance of it. The promise is the substance of it. Amen? I have faith in the promise that he said, sin shall not have dominion over you, for instance. Amen? Now, it don't appear that way in many cases, does it? But no, I go back to that promise. And I begin to thank him for it. I begin to rejoice in it. Thank him for it. Even when I see the sin, say, no, in Jesus' name, that's not me. Or, Father, I repent of that. I just fell into that hole again. No, in Jesus' name, that's not me. I don't agree with that. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord God, that I'll not set foot in that again. And I stand strong on that promise. I stand strong on that declaration before the Lord. Amen? So we said that. And then for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. That is, the faith that Caleb and Joshua came back with over the other guys. You know, hey, we're like grasshoppers in their sight, said the other 10. And Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we're talking about taking the land of Jericho, going across the Jordan River. Said, we're more than well able. We're well able to take them. That guy's 80 years old. He said, we're well able to take them. Come on, boys. It's through faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. I mean, it's too big for us. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the world. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's too big for my mind. That's why we like Darwin. Darwin's easier. It's hard to just say the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We're too smart for that, except for the fact that God's bigger than our smart.
What does it mean when it says worlds?
The creation.
But they're not worlds, are they?
Well, worlds meaning planets. By the worlds of God, yeah. No. Then by faith, Abel. We talked about Abel last time. We had to get the tape. By faith, Enoch. Remember that guy? He was walking with God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God and he was not. That is, for God took him. The one guy besides Elijah that God took out of this world, still alive, not dead. Just, here you go, gone. Nobody knew him. Raptured him right out, caught him away. And he said God translated him, for he had this before his translation, his taking up, he had this testimony that he what? Pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God, Enoch. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Verse 6. So what did Enoch have there? Verse 5, by faith. By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to... You can't please Him by your good works. You can't please Him by doing a law. You won't ever... Because, number one, you can't do a law. You cannot perform it. There is no possibility. What if I did? No, shut up. It's kind of like, what if I could be 100 feet tall? You know that's what it would take? Are you going to be 100 feet tall? Huh?
Yeah.
Now, what's the oxymoron in that answer? I'm going to try to be 100 feet tall. You can't. It's too much for you. It's absolutely, positively will not happen. You will not perform any law that will please God. Absolutely, positively. Well, I've tried to do the best I can. Not enough. It ain't enough. You're going to have to just do one thing. Believe the promise of God. Without faith, it's impossible. Absolutely, positively, no chance, impossible to make God happy. That guy's going to be angry. Isn't that awful? That God would be angry. No, what I'm saying is God's love for you was that He sent His Son and killed Him on a cross so that you, all of your sin would be placed upon the most holy Son of God, the one who had no sin at all. He's the one who had to pay, and you cannot please God. Jesus is the only one that pleases God. And the only way you're going to please God is you're going to go get inside of Jesus. And how are you going to do that? You're going to do that by faith. You're going to get inside of Jesus. For in Him we live. Otherwise, out of Him we die. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. Amen? Isn't it true that there's not one chance that you would ever be able to please God apart from faith in Jesus Christ?
Where does that live, move, and have our being?
You know, I can't remember.
I think it's in Hebrews.
It may be. Maybe in chapter 2 or 3. Maybe in chapter 3, maybe in chapter 11.
It seems like we covered it.
I'm sure we did. We may have. That'll be your assignment.
Okay.
That'll be your assignment. You'll find that next time. All right? But without faith, okay, so now, Enoch translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, he pleased God. Now, how did he please God? By?
Believe.
What's the first thing? By faith. Verse 5, what does it say? What's it say? Read it.
Faith.
By faith. Read the first two words and the last three words.
By faith, Enoch will.
First two words of that verse and the last three words. By faith.
He pleased God.
There you have it. By faith, he pleased God. How are you going to please God? There you have it. By faith, you're going to please God. For with God, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Whom? God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, first of all, and that he is a rewarder of them which diligently seek him.
So you have to diligently seek him?
He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, you know, the problem is you don't know anything about him. God's rewards come from once you know something about him. Once you know that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, rewards will begin to come. Rewards come from seeking God. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. Remember Solomon. Give me wisdom that I might rule this people. Because he asked for wisdom, you're going to get everything else.
So that's why...
That's why he got everything else. That's exactly right.
But why should you diligently seek him?
So you'll have more of God. So you'll know who you are. So you'll know what you have. He says, remember over in Psalm 103, forget not all of his benefits, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness. Let's look at that. Psalm 103, read that one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let's read the rest of it here. A little bit of it. So you're telling your soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Get your little arm out and get your little elbow poking out and kind of jab your neighbor. Like this. Jab your neighbor. Pretend your neighbor is your soul. Hey, soul. Talk to him. Hey, soul. You got a soul you need talking to. You know what I mean? Does your soul ever need talking to? Does your mind, your will, and emotions need talking to? Hey, stop that. Listen up. Hey, soul. Bless the Lord. No, I don't want to. Well, shut up and do it anyway. Quit complaining. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Listen to your soul complaining. Stop it. Forget not the benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. I got a typo in my Bible. It says, who heal all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Amen?
That was my hand.
Praise the Lord. Say, I'm in church.
She didn't call me much.
But she's calling you. She likes to have you around. So he says now, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And again, that's Matthew 6:33, right? And he says here now, see Romans 12:3, we found out that that God had given every man the measure of faith. And that he's shown every man that he is God. And they have no excuse. Matthew 6:33.
Yeah, we have no excuse.
That's right. We have no excuse. Let's see here. I'll back up one more for one more scripture, Ephesians 2:8. For we're saved by faith, by grace through faith, by His grace. That's the big part. The way to get there, the road to it, is through faith. By His grace, He made an accomplishment. He made a plan from the foundation of the world that it would happen through faith that we would be saved. Only one way to get saved, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? By grace are we saved through faith. And that, not of yourself, it's the gift of God, just in case any man was going to boast. You couldn't, because it's God's gift, not your doing. Another thing we can look at as far as that scripture there in second half of 6 says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, we can take a look at Deuteronomy. Of course, everybody, all the faith folks know Deuteronomy chapter 28, right? About if you'll do all the works of the law, it'll come to pass if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do. Darn tootin', you betcha. Born and bred, Rhema Bible Training Center. Well, I'll tell you. Started out what we just talked about in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. They're trying to make faith into something that you can mold and shape into a Cadillac, or mold and shape by speaking, kind of making it, sending it out of your mouth and saying what it is. Well, it's a car. It's a house. You know, I'm going to say it out of my mouth, and it's going to be that.
Does that work to some degree? Because Kenneth Copeland says it does.
I know what he says.
And people followed it.
A lot of people followed it, and a lot of people failed. I believe what works is if somebody knows God, and they are under the humility of God, and God will bless you. You'll be blessed. We believe in blessing like nobody's business. Jim and I believe in blessing like nobody's business. We believe in it superbly. And I think these guys actually would agree with me. Amen? That it's not about you going out there and yapping something out of your mouth so you can have it, and then you go out and live like heck. This is going to come. The only way that somebody is going to receive a blessing through faith, through in this life, having their needs met and having the desires of their heart fulfilled, number one, the desires of your heart are the desires that God gives you, not the desires you come up with on your own.
That's good.
Because your desires, what are your desires? Sin and wickedness. On the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, in your heart. But I've seen a few things on you that don't look like the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You still got a soul full of garbage. Amen? That's why you're having trouble. And people who don't think they have that are still got pride, as if they've got something. Now, does God work in people and cause them to be a blessing? Yes, indeed. Does God work in people and cause sin to reduce because of the Holy Spirit? Yes. But only because they believe that it's not them, but it's only God.
So is the only desire really to know God?
What other desire would you have? That's not born of the flesh. That's not born of the flesh. What other desire would you have that's not born of the flesh? There's only one desire. That's born of the Spirit, to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. But here He says, here's the promise of the law, which can only be kept through faith in Jesus Christ, right? Deuteronomy 28. And it'll come to pass if you shall hearken diligently. Listen, hearken diligently. Let your mind and heart be filled with the Word of God.
Diligently seek Him.
That's right. Diligently seek Him. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all of his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you shall hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall be you when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in the storehouses and in all that you set your hand to. And he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord shall establish you as a holy people to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you will keep his commandments of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord your God, and walk in his ways. All the people shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord Lord swear to your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open to you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, and shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if that you hearken to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And it goes on and goes on. Well, actually, at the next point, he says, and you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left, and to go after the other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you. So if you not hearken to the word of the Lord, all the curses will come upon you. If you do hearken to the word of the Lord, the blessing will come upon you. Amen? It said just, but what is it? Is you're listening to the word of the Lord to do what he has commanded you to do. And the only way you're going to do that is how? By faith. Because it's impossible to please him apart from faith. Even though he said in the Old Testament, do the commandments, he knows you can't. So he sent Jesus. And so now in Jesus you're keeping them. And as long as you're in Jesus and you're reading this word and knowing that you're being transformed into that same image, all of these blessings begin to come upon you. All of these blessings begin to come upon you. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of the... God is hard. He's a hard master. You know, remember the guy with the talents? Well, the guy with the one talent who went and hit it in the ground? Well, I knew you as a hard master. He said he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's not a hard master. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Just seek him. David said it. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may inquire in his temple. And I'm missing one. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing of the desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's what I want. That's the one thing.
Seek after diligently.
That's right. To seek after. One thing. One thing. But it's manifest in three things. Right? One thing. Dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire in his temple. That's three things, but it's one thing. That is all about seeking the Lord. That's a desire of the Lord.
Things again?
Psalm 27. Go read it. To
behold the beauty of the
to
Lord.
Dwell, to behold, and to
inquire.
Behold, excuse me.
Dwell, behold, inquire.
That's right.
Inquire into his temple.
That's right. So he says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. God's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. If you diligently seek him, Deuteronomy 28, all over you. Psalm 103, all over you. Amen? Now, what do you do with a seed? When you plant a seed, what do you do with it? Do you? Would you tell me what you would do with a seed.
Plant it in the ground and water it.
Water it. What else would you give it? Maybe give it some sun.
Sunlight.
Would you dig it up?
No.
You know, that's what we do every day. You know what we do? Dig it up.
See how it's growing.
See how it's doing. You know what?
To see how seeds grow.
Yeah, well, you need to watch them from when they pop up out of the ground. You don't go down and dig them up. That'd be like killing a baby, killing a fetus. You don't pull the fetus out to see how it's doing. Do you? Huh?
No.
You just trust God. The little thing is rising. You know, the little baby's rising. You can see that. When a woman's pregnant, you see her little belly rising. You can see that seed is growing. Do you go in there and pull that seed out? No, you kill it. Got to put the seed in the ground and let it go. Father, thank you that you love me. Put your faith in that word in the ground. Put your faith in the ground and let it die. When I say let it die, what I mean is, put your faith in the ground and trust God with it. And you're going to be transformed. You're going to be changed. Put the seed in the ground. That is, trust God with your life. Put the Word of God in you. You're ground, aren't you? Aren't you good ground? Some parts of you are good ground. Some parts of you are thorny ground. Some parts of you are rocky ground. Some parts of you are hard ground. But when you plant faith in the good ground, that good ground will produce fruit. And you know what else will happen? It'll start. What happens when a good seed grows up? What happens to the thorns when the seed takes hold and gets strong? What happens to your lawn, the weeds in your lawn, when your grass gets really going? What happens to the weeds when the grass is going real strong? What happens to the weeds?
They still spring up, don't they?
Yeah, but they don't last long. They get choked out by the grass.
Oh.
They get choked out by the stronger. When it's young, when it's small, weeds will choke it. When it's strong, it chokes the weeds.
You said put your seed in the ground and let it die.
Let it die. That is, don't keep digging it up. Don't keep checking on things. Well, how come this isn't working? How come that's not working? What I'm telling you is study the Word of God. Pray, worship. Don't be digging up things. What we do is dig up things with our mind. Where's God at? How come he's not doing that? So we dig up things with our mind. See, we're being transformed, but our mind still wants to be conformed. Our mind still wants to know what's happening from a worldly point of view. It'd be like if Diane Sawyer comes in and she's trying to examine some faith thing. You ever seen the news people try to examine something of faith? Well, yeah, what about all this thing that you're doing here? You say you're trusting God with. Well, how exactly does that work? She don't know nothing. She's not going to understand a thing. In fact, what she'll be doing is she's going to come in with man's viewpoint to try to break your faith and cause you to drag you back into the world. She's going to try to conform you to her thinking, right? The news or the media or basically people of this world who believe in this world drag your mind, back to this world. Now, come on, let's be rational. God's very rational. God's very rational. God's not irrational. God's not into killing your neighbor. Amen? God's not into men with men. If you put a man with a man, what kind of fruit are you going to get? Nothing. If you put a man with a woman, you might get 18 kids. You put a man with a man, what are you going to get? Nothing. Just a disease. You won't get anything. Amen. Isn't that right? Why didn't God make one man and two women? Or two men and two women, so everybody could have a choice. God made what He needed to produce, didn't He? God made what He needed to make a seed and cause it to produce more. A man and a woman. That's it. God's not irrational. Homosexuality is irrational. Murder for money is irrational. God said, I'm going to supply all your needs. People are looking to men to supply their needs. Communism is irrational. You're looking to men to supply your needs instead of God. You're looking to the state to supply your needs instead of God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things that not as yet seen, moved with fear. Now, Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Noah began to do what he could not have ever known to do. Noah walked with God. He says, being warned of God, by God, of things coming that were not yet seen. You know what he means by that is also things that had never been seen. There had never been a rain on the ground. I'm going to cause it to rain on it. You're going to cause it to what? I'll cause it to rain. You're going to cause it to what? They'd never seen rain. Be like talking to a guy from Mexico about snow. You're going to cause it to what? Snow. Snowball. We're going to have a snowball. You're going to have a what ball fight? He'd never seen rain before. Rain had never been before. God was going to cause it to rain. But see, the land was watered with a mist that came up from the ground because there was moisture all the time. But Noah was warned of God of things as not seen as yet. And he moved with fear of God. He moved with the fear of God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, of his household, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith.
So by faith he moved with the fear of God.
That's right, by faith. Faith produces the fear of God. Now the faith that he had had came down from his fathers. He heard God. He learned to hear God on his own. Remember Samuel. Samuel was given to God by his mother. Went down to live in the house of Eli, the wild, wacky priest Eli, with the wild, wacky sons. But he was the man of God for the hour, the man of God in the day. And Samuel heard the voice of God. Samuel, Samuel. And he got up, went into Eli's bedroom. Samuel, Samuel. Eli's bedroom. Eli, Eli, did you call me? No, son. Go back to bed. And the boy trots back off to bed. A little while later, here's a voice. Samuel, Samuel. Little boy gets up out of bed, trots into Eli's room. Master Eli, you called me. No. About this time, Eli figures out that it's God talking to the boy. So he sends the boy back off the bed. He said, next time the voice says, here am I. Say to the voice, here am I, Lord. So he went back in. Went back to bed. After a little while, the voice came again. Samuel. Samuel. The boy says, here am I, Lord. And God began to speak to him. He heard the voice of the Lord. He heard from his teachers, from his father, from his ancestors of the God of heaven. No, there wasn't a God of Abraham yet. It's just the God of heaven, the God who created the world, the God of Adam, the God of Abel, the God of Seth. These were the fathers. See, all of these guys, Seth was probably still alive. Or at least, Noah probably knew Seth. Noah probably knew Seth. Because they lived so long. Somebody said it's possible that, Abraham knew Seth. That's a one old guy. That'd be one old guy, wouldn't it? Now, so by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. That is because nobody else is going to get in. Nobody else is getting in the ark. Nobody walked by faith. The ark was built for just enough animals and just enough people to believe, who believed God.
The animals didn't believe.
Well, yeah, animals didn't have to believe. They just, God told them. I take that back. I think they did believe. You know why? God called all the animals. Did you know that? God sent all the animals. God sent them.
He called them,
sent them to the ark. And they became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So he carried the promise from one world to the next. Wasn't anybody else. Was there? He was the one remaining guy who heard the faith from his fathers and carried it over the destruction of the earth to the new world. And it, believe me, was a new world. It was a new world. The skies were different. The climate was different. All the dinosaurs died out. Couldn't survive in the new world because it was hot in some places. The whole world was transformed. Polar ice caps formed. Earth was cocked so that you had seasons that were more severe than they had been in the past. You had harsh winters. Harsh summers. Before you had seasons, but they weren't as harsh as they are now. So here we are, Noah. He prepared an ark. He was the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So we talked about tonight that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And what that is to please God is to seek Him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what pleases God. is to believe on Him whom the Father... It's the work of God. John 6:29 says, the disciples asked Jesus, is that, what might we do to do the work of God? And He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom the Father has sent. And this boat that Noah built carried the promise which was given in Genesis, that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head, but the serpent will bruise his heel. That promise came right down to a little bitty bottleneck, didn't it? From Eve's seed to Noah, and he was the only guy. That's it. Who's the only guy who made it across in his family? See, he's the patriarch. Now, he did have the three sons, but he's the only guy who made it across from one world to the next. Does that make sense? So he's the one who carried the promise of the Savior. He's the one that carried the promise of the Savior into the new world. And his sons carried it on. His son Shem began to carry on that line. Shem. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But Shem was the one who fathered the line that came to Jesus. Fathered the line that came to Abraham. Next time we'll talk about Abraham. Amen? It's a good chapter. Huh?
It's meaty.
That's right. It's a good chapter. You got to know it. You got to walk in it. Well, Lord, we just praise You. Thank You for this word today. We thank You, Lord God, that You're teaching us that without faith, we can't please You. And faith is the only thing that will please You. Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that through Noah You brought that promise to pass from the death of the old world into the new. So we worship You and we thank You for it, and thank You that You just cause us to walk in joy and peace and thanksgiving, that You teach us that we are Your sons. We are heirs of salvation through Jesus Christ. And we love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.